Hey, welcome to a special, somewhat unusual edition of Talking Fußball, the Bundesliga show, your source for all things German football. I'm your host, Matt Herman, and bear with me, folks. Indulge me for a moment. I'm going to be focusing entirely, with the help of another similarly afflicted person, zooming in entirely on Hertha BSC. And I'm going to justify it this way, folks. This is a team that has been through a lot, not just over the last couple of weeks, but going back a couple of years, to be honest. But more specifically about the last couple of weeks, they were in quarantine for 14 days. They missed three match days of Bundesliga football. That means they've been kind of missing from Talking Fußball, and I think it's time to remedy that. I am here with Joe Gould. He is one of the two people behind the Don't Poke the Bear cast. First of all, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Nice. Yes, this is a fairly new, I guess it started this season, earlier this season, a fairly new Hertha BSC podcast in English. I guess it's one of a few of those, but, you know, it's the one based stateside, the one that's sort of adjacent to the Hertha North America fan club that I know a few folks from. So I'm really psyched to have you on, man.
Yeah, thanks. We are doing good. You're right. We started earlier this year, and it's been fun so far. It's good to talk about the team that we love. So totally excited to be here.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of love, I think we might as well start with the lovely stuff. And that is to say that, you know, in this, you know, week of, I guess if you want to look at it in a certain way, their first game was on Monday. They played another game on Thursday. They're going to play another game on Sunday. But the team has already picked up 4 points from a draw and a win against Mainz, away to Mainz, and then at home to Freiburg. That meets the criteria that was set out before the week started, that Pal Dardai said that the least he wanted from this set of games was 4 points. I feel great about it. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I feel great about it as well. I think, you know, we did have that expectation. We've met it almost with a game in hand, more or less. If we can make it 7 out of 9, I think that would be even better. You know, the pressure was on for sure, but yeah, I'm flying high today. It was a great win against Freiburg. I'm super stoked, as I'm sure you are too. And yeah, that we definitely needed it. So it was positive. It's positive right now, and that feels good.
Yeah, one thing that sort of jumps out at me about this win from earlier today, we're recording this on Thursday, was that Dardai decided to really change up the team. I think he changed 9 out of the 11 positions. So, you know, considering he didn't change the goalkeeper, he changed 9 out of 10 outfield players. He really seems to be sticking with this this pledge that he put out sort of during the quarantine, that a lot of players, he's going to bring in, you know, 2 or 3 new players on the 60-minute mark, a couple of more players on the 75-minute mark. He's really basically making sure everybody's on board, and it's actually working. How did you feel when you saw that lineup before the Freiburg game?
Yeah, it was a little heart in the gut a little bit, just, you know, or gut and mouth maybe is the better way to frame it. But I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And it certainly paid off. You know, you could tell that he had a clear game plan going into that game, pressuring the back line for Freiburg. They did an excellent job of that. I mean, this has to be up there with one of the best games I've seen Hertha play all season long. They came out flying right out of the gate, put pressure on that back line. Derrida was really impressive to me. He was a total workhorse today, and that was refreshing, especially since he'd been out for the last couple of games.
It's interesting you use the workhorse thing. I feel like whenever I watch Hertha games, you know, put out with the broadcasters from Cologne, the ones from the DFL, you know, world feed, It's if there was a bingo board that you had, or a drinking game perhaps for watching a Hertha game, every single announcer has to tell you about the Pferdelunge, the horse lungs nickname, or something about Vladi Derrida. It's like not a game goes by without hearing about the horse lungs.
Yes, completely agree. And Derrida was that today for us. I felt like I was really impressed. And again, as he was coming off that red card suspension, I thought, I felt like he had a point to prove. He got a start And I think he realized that that card was probably not the greatest thing, nor was it very timely either. So, yeah, was impressed with him. And then I would say Radonjić was also extremely impressive today. An assist and a goal. I was very happy with his performance. You know, he's kind of been on and off a little bit. I have struggled to kind of grasp where he's at in terms of his, I guess, level. And I think part of that's because he's kind of been inconsistent. And today I really felt like with him starting, he was able to kind of put his, you know, his name on the team sheet, maybe a little more in darker ink. Cause yeah, he performed very well. He attacked them. He's super fast. Yeah, he stepped up to the plate when we needed it and delivered, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's interesting. I too was really happy to see him do well, because he's a player who I feel like we've seen flashes of potential, but very little payoff from up to now. And in fact, you know, not to say that he's the only one on the team, because there's others, but he had become a sort of a source of frustration, I think, for me, for a lot of people. I was really pleased, though, not only to see him do well, but also, you know, he's one of a number of players who either had not started lately or not started at all this season. To Ira Dillerson, Dedrick Boyata, who, you know, had a brief cameo in the Mainz game, but otherwise hadn't played for Hertha in about 4 months. Omar Alderete, Jordan Turunariga. These are all players who I wasn't shocked to see them play well, because I've seen them play well a lot before. I actually like all of those players, but I wasn't 100% sure they were going to, you know, just jump in the dune buggy and start, you know, bounding from dune to dune the way that they were. They were just, you know, they had a great game, all those guys.
Yeah, I think it speaks volumes to how Dardai has changed the mentality of the team. I think that's part of what he's done, is he's prepared the players to come in at any point in time. He's not really stuck with a consistent 11 since he's been put into place. A lot of that comes down to some injuries, some suspensions, you know, various things like that. But he's been able to take the resources at his disposal at the club right now and prepare them to play at any point in time. And it was tough in the beginning. There was a feet in the fire phase right as he came in, just because I think it was, again, a mental shift. You know, he had to shift away from what Labadia was doing and how he wanted the team to perform. And now we're kind of seeing the results of that, and we're starting to pick up form, hopefully at the right time. You know, we've got some good games here to finish out the season, games that I think we can win. And so it's positive to see that the players are ready to go. They're eager to go. They're eager to perform. You know, you could tell it meant a lot to Piontek to score that opener and to kind of lift them off the ground in the game. Fantastic finish. For him to be there at the right place, right time, I think was also, you know, something that we hadn't really seen too much this season. You know, he's a player that came in with a lot of promise, a lot of hype, and he's, you know, he struggled to deliver this season, that's for sure. So that was good as well to see him get on the score sheet, and hopefully that's a pickup in form.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about sort of like personnel moving forward later on, but I too was super happy to see that. Like, he has gotten to the point where it seems like every time he does score, as opposed to not score in ridiculous fashion, which he's done a number of times, he looks so relieved. He looks like, you know, when he gets down into his, like, you know, power slide pew 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 pistol thing, like, he just looks so happy to be getting his pistols out, you know.
Yes a true sharpshooter or gunslinger. Yeah.
Since you mentioned winnable games, and there's, you know, no reason to really think that that's necessarily going to happen, because I remember the sickening feeling that I had in the Hinrunde when we were faced with a very similar run of games, although now they're kind of jumbled out of order or whatever, but basically the same teams that we're looking at now. This was what you know, I think not only the fans, but the management as well, Bruno probably to a degree, thought was going to be the phase of the season where, you know, Hertha shook off the rust that had looked pretty profound at the early part of the season. And they were going to sort of start steamrolling a little bit. This was basically a bunch of bad teams, or at the very best, mid-table teams. And, you know, Hertha, at least early on in the season, was still thinking of itself as a team who had a chance to be mid-table or better, which, you know, I still kind of feel like the potential is there in the squad, but obviously that ship has sailed a long time ago. But like, looking just specifically at the next game, which is the Sunday game at home to Bielefeld, what would you say are the sort of things that this team needs to either do or keep doing against a team who, if anything, is just as feisty as Freiburg and just as interested in, you know, taking it to teams on the counter and making, you know, a lot of sort of gritty plays to break up sort of build up play. Is the same formula going to work against Bielefeld?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we might be able to glean some answers looking back at the Mainz game. Mm. You know, that was a very, very open game, very not the prettiest game, but it was definitely open, more open than I felt like this game today was against Freiburg, and yet we were able to put a clean sheet together and score some goals. So, you know, perhaps looking at Bielefeld, what we need to do is A, lock it down in the back. That's been an issue, I think, for us all season long. So if we can maybe get another clean sheet or keep them out as much as possible, that's going to be a positive. And yeah, I think you've got to look at some of the players that started today. You know, they get to go again on Sunday. You know, I think today was a confidence builder. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how Paul Dardai rolls out that team sheet. It's so hard to so hard to predict how it's going to go. You know, you simply hope for the best. But you know, I do think that today was a confidence builder, and I think the players will be relieved that they got the 3 points. I just hope that relief doesn't sink in too deep, and that they're able to stay on their toes and realize, you know, they're not out of this yet.
Yeah. I do think that both the fact that most of the guys who, let's face it, a lot of these guys are not first choice most of the time, whether that's somebody like Dilrusun or Radonjic or Alderete. They've all had their moments. They've all had, you know, certain runs of games where they get a few starts, but not as much. But to see them play as well as they did is, and also Alexander Schwolo, like, he has been a real enigma for Hertha this season, certainly being brought in as sort of the long-term answer and goal, and not exactly like playing poorly, but just basically looking like a replacement level Bundesliga goalkeeper for most of the season, and on occasion worse. So, you know, all the good feeling that I think folks had about Rudi Jahrstein's return under Pal Dardai, and then having that sort of pulled out from under us with, you know, obviously a really terrible situation, a guy getting severe case of COVID, mm-hmm. I think created a lot of uncertainty, not only for, you know, people like me and you, but I can only imagine probably within the squad as well. So seeing Schwolo play as well as he has over the last couple of games has been so good.
Yeah, it's been a huge relief, because I think that was a major question mark for everybody once we found out that Jahrstein had COVID. You know, is okay, well, are we, I guess we have to go back to, you know, we call him Schwoli. but, you know, he's definitely proved it. And I think it's helped his confidence. He's had a great set of games since he's come back in. You know, today he was absolutely outstanding. He made two superb saves. It was really good to see. You know, the goalkeeping situation this season has been tough. You know, they both, Jahrstein and Schwolo, have made, you know, some mistakes that they probably shouldn't have. I can think of one specifically in the Dortmund game. but you know, it's just another punch to add to the season. And this is, you know, kind of what we've been saying on the show, is that, you know, you've just been really unlucky. You just get the sense, you know, that's played a major part in this season. You know, and the performances on the field have definitely played their role too, but you know, some things like that, you just look at and you go, what on earth? And so, yeah, for Schwolle, I think, you know, his performances have improved, and that's a positive to see. And yeah, he doesn't feel quite like, you know, a bench goalie anymore. it feels like he's stepped up his game a little bit. So that's good.
All right, let's just quickly look at the what's ahead. I mean, basically coming out of this quarantine, Heritage opponents pretty much were all in two categories. They're either in the fellow, you know, relegation candidates, or in one case, relegation certainties, or it was teams that are sort of kind of in no man's land. I mean, obviously Freiburg still have something to play for if they really want to play Europa, UEFA, Europa Conference Liga, which it may well turn out to be a sort of another form of no man's land, depending on how well, you know, fans and broadcasters take to that tournament. But yeah, we've basically drawn with the relegation candidate, and we beat the sort of mid-table no man's land team. Is that going to sort of hold? Are we going to struggle more against the likes of Bielefeld and Cologne, and then, you know, Hoffenheim are going to be on the beach on the final day? I mean, how do you think this is going to play out? We got four more games.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good question. In my opinion, I think the game against Bielefeld is certainly winnable. I would expect us to take the 3 points there. The last game of the season is against Hoffenheim. Not sure about them. They've been very hot and cold this season. So you never really know who's going to show up, kind of like us. But yeah, you know, if we do get that win, that puts a considerable gap between us and the rest of kind of the contenders, assuming that none of them win as well. And I think that potentially that could be enough. I can't see Schalke putting up much of a fight since they're already down. I'm not sure what they have left to play for. So, you know, it's definitely hopeful that if we end up drawing with Bielefeld or even losing that game, the Schalke game could potentially give us the points that we're looking for to almost secure safety. It's going to be a dogfight. It really is. You know, as you were mentioning earlier, you know, the first half of the season when we faced these teams, we thought that these were going to be games that we had 3 points in the bag, and we certainly have the talent to be able to get the points. I think you saw that today. It's going to be a real matter of, you know, mentally, do we show up? Again, I think that's been an issue this year. And second, you know, I think it depends on if our opponent shows up too. You know, how do they come out of the blocks? So I would say, you know, I think conceivably we could get a minimum of 6 points in the next couple of games, and I think that would be enough. That would be my goal. Be interesting to see how it all falls out.
Yeah. Well, we'll be watching. Okay, let's talk a little bit about sort of bigger picture stuff. You brought up the first part of the season. I brought up the first part of the season. We all know what was going on. A lot of really sort of disorganized, disjointed, lackluster stuff. Rightly or wrongly, that's been laid at the foot of Bruno Labbadia, who was the coach for the, you know, first half of the season-ish. And I would say, at least among Hertha fans and probably among a lot of neutral observers, the team's better now that Pal Dardai has taken over. Considering personnel changes have been pretty minimal, I mean, there's, you know, been a couple of moves around the edges. I mean, obviously, Radonjic, et cetera. But have you sorted through what was going so wrong in terms of what Bruno Labbadia was trying to do? Because he's not like a superstar coach, but he's coached quite a few good teams in the past, and he's improved other clubs in the past, but it just didn't work here.
Yeah. In my opinion, I think he had a vision, and I think he moved almost too quickly to get us to that point. And I think that caused us to stumble. He is a good coach. You know, he's done a lot elsewhere, but for a team like Hertha to bring in so many new faces in a season, and some of these guys are high profile, so they're coming in with some big personalities. you know, the changes also going on behind the scenes, I think perhaps also played a role too. So, I mean, to answer your question, I think it's kind of a combination of those two things. And I think it was almost a case of trying to do too much too quickly. You know, we had our sights set on trying to get into Europe, and, you know, that seemed to be the number one goal, but we didn't give the team enough time to gel together and to, you know, kind of come together as a team and put together those performances. It was really a lot of individual performances coming together on the field, and that just didn't work. And you saw that, you know, you saw individual players, Cunha, you know, Luca Bacchio, having, you know, decent individual performances, or sometimes not decent individual performances. And there was just a breakdown there. And so, yeah, that's my belief of kind of what was going on.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I feel like this may strike you as weird considering the source of it, but, like, obviously Jurgen Klinsmann is mostly a dumbass. I think the world has come to that conclusion, at least in terms of his ability to coach a team. But the the dossier, which included the line, the front office needs to be completely, you know, there needs to be a complete, you know, cleaning house in this area, because there's just too much sort of, I don't know, sort of weird vibes, weird ways of presenting the club in the public, weird sort of not very open communication channels within the club. I feel like some of the stuff that's happening now is showing that was true, that, you know, Michel Preetz, who, you know, was our sporting director / commercial manager, whatever you want to call it, for I don't know how many years it was, like 12 years or something like that, was a hugely negative influence on the atmosphere surrounding the club. I mean, can you imagine if he was there that we would have fired both our goalkeeping coach and, you know, pressured the investor to get rid of this board member, Jens Lehmann, and sold Petri, the person I'm talking to about before, to, like, get rid of them the day of or the next day after they say some racist bullshit. And now the club is able to do things like that. Now the club, you know, has a coach who just speaks his mind, like, you know, we had for a while in the past. And, you know, whenever Dardai used to speak his mind, it used to create kind of like static with Preetz or static, you know, with the chairman. And now he just says what he wants, and that's fine. And that's how it should be.
Yeah, I think we're definitely seeing the change that you're talking about there, you know, at behind the scenes in the club, you know, in the front office or whatever, which is really great to see. I think it's something that's needed to happen for a long time. I think another factor to what's happening now, these changes that are going on at the board level and whatnot, I think Arne Friedrich is playing a big role in that too. You know, to bring him in, somebody who's got a Hertha heart. He's a real Hertaner. You know, he's also played over here in Major League Soccer and has kind of maybe a broader perspective of a global game. It's not necessarily Eurocentric. And
yeah.
And I think he realizes, you know, there's an audience over here, and there are people who are true fans, just like there are true fans over in Germany and in Berlin, right? And so you can tell that he gets along really well with Dardai. I think that was evident a couple games ago. You may have seen the little gif that was going on, going around the Twitter sphere with the fist bump, right? You know, and I think that's a really positive thing. And you know, I'll just throw this out there. Friedrich has been instrumental in helping our Hertha North America group, you know, become actual members of Hertha Berlin. He's really gotten the right people involved to make that happen for a lot of us. And for us, that's important. We feel connected now, whereas before, you know, even before the season, I would say even before January, there just wasn't that connection, you know. And it's hard to say being over here if that connection was felt in Berlin, but it didn't really feel or seem like it was. And now I think they're really trying to build that, and it just kind of brings it all together and gives it more of a family club atmosphere. You know, I think it's lifted people's spirits and has really, you know, helped unite the club. And So it's almost like the old boys club, right? You've got Friedrich, you've got Dardai, you've got Zeka, you know, you've got all these guys.
You got Freddie coming in this summer.
That's right, Freddie Bobich, that's right. And, you know, all these guys that either played for Hertha or they had roots with the club somehow. And it just feels now like we're finally starting to turn the corner and go to a positive place. Like, this is building now. And, you know, before January, didn't really get that sense, right? Even maybe before Dardai came in, you just felt like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that like they were still searching for direction, because there had been so much talk ever since, and truthfully even prior to, you know, Las Ventures and Tenor coming in with all their money. You know, that's basically the background to why Dardai got fired in the first place, although that was not common knowledge at the time. That, you know, Michel Preetz was thinking, "Way, we're about to come into money. We got to get somebody more ambitious coaching this team, somebody who wants to play a bit more positive football, blah, 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 blah." All that crashed and burned. And now I feel like, despite the fact that we went back to where we were before in terms of who's coaching the team, the infrastructure is now in place to do something good. I have convinced myself more or less that, despite the fact that we're getting hold of about the best sporting director in Germany, I mean, Max Eberl might give him a run for his money, mm-hmm. in Freddie Bobich, that is, who probably, at least at a certain point in time, might have had some other ideas about who he might want to coach this team. I have kind of come around to, I would like to at least give Pal another year and see how it goes, just because I feel like so many of the problems that were really plaguing us with this transitional period of coming into money and renewing the squad, that he has seemingly gotten himself across to this team. I mean, and now that I've said it, we're probably going to lose the four games and we're going to go down. But yeah, I'm kind of into the idea of keeping him around. How about you?
Yeah, I am. And you know, I think even if we go down, I think that that's probably the right step to make anyway, in terms of keeping him around, you know, if possible. I don't see why not. But yeah, I mean, even if we get relegated, I feel like keeping these guys around could give us a better chance to bounce back right away. And we build from there. And yeah, it happened. You know, you can blame it on a bunch of different reasons. It happened. We end up getting relegated. All right, let's build. Let's go, you know, right back up, straight back up. And then we work from there to get back into the long-term vision that we have of reaching the, you know, a European competition.
Dig it. Let's do it. Okay. So before we wrap this up, because I think we probably should in the next several minutes. I don't know how many minutes. I'm not in a huge hurry, but I want to talk about players moving forward. You know, there's a few loan players in the team. There is a fairly prominent loan player not with the team who we're about to play on Sunday. And then there's probably also a few players whose contracts are going to be running out, such as the illustrious Matthew Lecky. Are any of these players who are sort of a bit more loosely connected, either who have contracts running out, who are loan players, who are away on loan, are any of these guys worth making a big effort to hang on to? Which is to say, Nemanja Radonjić, Matteo Guendouzi, Arne Meyer, and Matthew Lecky.
I've always been a big fan of Arne Meyer. I was sad to see him get loaned out in the first place. I felt like he actually had a role in this team, and I really don't feel like Bielefeld has been great for his development, personal opinion, I suppose. So I definitely think that I would like to see him stick around. He is very talented, and I still think that there will be a role for him going forward. I can't see us holding on to Guendouzi. He has been very hot and cold. You never really know what you're getting with him. I think you could almost say the same for Khedira, although he's not a loan option. And we can talk about him another time. But so yeah, Guendouzi, I don't think we'll hold on to. Radonjić, I would like to see return, at least at this point in time, if you were to ask me right now, which you did. I think he is worth, you know, keeping around. And then for Lecky is a tricky situation. I think if we do end up getting relegated, perhaps keeping him around in the second division for us might not be a bad thing. If we end up staying up, I can't see him sticking around. I think we'll probably say our farewells.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a second division player, you know, that's kind of always been true about him. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm maybe a little bit on the other side of things. I would probably, I'll go both ways. I basically feel like Matteo Guendouzi, both because of his age and because I think we might have Arsenal over a barrel, let's just say. They didn't give us a price, but they actually didn't put a purchase price into the loan deal. But I feel like they're going to miss out on Europe for the first time in 25 years. So there's going to be a fire sale of some kind. Whereas I think Radonjic has kind of a bad price tag attached to him, something like 12 or 15. And I'm not sure as a 25-year-old that he's worth that. But then again, he's a winger and we need wingers and we actually don't need central midfielders. So I'm totally torn.
I think that there are other winger options out there. I can think of a few off the top of my head, maybe from up north way. You know, there's a player at FC Copenhagen, Mo Darami, that I think would be spectacular if we could pull him in. I don't think he'd have a 12 to 15 price tag either. And then up in Hammarby, there's a young Nigerian winger there who actually has just started to get playing time, but I think he's quality. And if we could get him, he's a little raw, but I like what I see. So
look at you watching Danish football. Huh?
Yes, it's a favorite league of mine for sure. That and the Allsvenskan as well.
So. Nice. You're using your ESPN Plus subscription to the fullest.
That's right, but it's a good use. Yeah.
All right. Real quick before we cut things off, because I just looking forward, because we do have work to do, and I think Freddie Bobic, one of the reasons why he took the job at Hertha was to probably just have a new thing to mold and maybe have a little bit more money to work with than he did at Eintracht. There is work to be done with this squad. I personally think that in central defense and in central midfield, we have plenty of hands on deck. We probably don't need to go shopping in those categories, but I feel like just about everywhere else we do. What would be probably your area that you would think would be most worth upgrading?
Yeah, for me, it's got to be up front, at least at this point in time. Goal scoring has been a real pain point this season. You know, I really like Cordoba and I really want to like him even more. I think he has some really great qualities, but for whatever reason, minus kind of his hot start at the beginning of the season, he just has not really put in the amount of goals that I was expecting him to. And then Piontek, I don't even know what to say with this, to be honest. You know, he came in with so much promise, a lot of hype, and I just really feel like he's struggled to deliver that. You know, even today I was noticing that some of the runs that he's making, you know, the goal that Pekarik scored, the second one, that actually should have been where he was. So what is our outside back doing in that position where our center forward should be?
To be fair, he was at the far post. You know, Pekarik was the near post. Piontek was at the far post.
Yeah. That's true. So I guess my point is, you know, he too, I don't feel like either of our strikers or center forwards have really delivered. And I think we're going to need to find another option there over the summer. Who that is, I couldn't tell you right now. But yeah, that would be my main concern.
Cool. Shopping for strikers, that's fun. That's buying sports cars, man. Okay. Yeah, cool. And between, you know, Bobic knows a lot of people, his new you know, number two, Dirk Dufner, apparently has been working as a player agent at a pretty big agency for the last few years, so I'm sure he's probably got some good ideas coming in. Okay, very, very last thing, just because I don't know, how did you become a Hertha fan, and why did you decide to stay within this fraternity of masochism?
Yeah, good question. So back in 2010, I was really when I started getting into the game quite heavily. And around that time, we started bringing John Brooks into the men's national team squad. And yeah, he was the one that kind of cued me into Hertha. Still a big fan of his. I wish he wasn't at Wolfsburg right now. Wish he was with us. But, you know, he kind of introduced me to the club, and Alfredo Morales was here at the same time. And that was attractive to me, that, you know, they would look at, you know, German Americans, or, you know, maybe even Americans to play for their team. And so, yeah, that's kind of the beginnings. And then a couple years later, I ended up taking a trip to Europe, and Berlin was a stop on that trip. And so I got to take a tour of the stadium. It was summertime, so there were no games or anything going on, but it just struck me. I mean, it's hard to explain, but I just love it. I mean, walking around that stadium, the history, you know, really feeling like you're in a special place in a big city. I don't know. It just melted my heart a little bit. And so, you know, from that point on, here I am, and I've been following ever since, following closely. And yeah, it's I'm here to stay, so it's good.
Nice. Listen to that, people. Hertha is magic.
It is.
It's magic.
It is.
It really is. It's a painful magic at times.
It is, yes.
But it's magic. Yeah. All right, Joe Gould, thank you so much for coming on Talking Foosball. Everyone, please do check out the Don't Poke the Bear cast. Where can folks find both the podcast and you in the internet, social media, whatever world?
Yeah, so you can find the podcast on Twitter at BearCast1892. And then for myself personally, you can find me on Twitter at 12th Yank. And then our show is on both Spotify and iTunes, and we record every 2 weeks pretty much.
And who's we, by the way?
Oh, yes, I should mention that my colleague is Ed Zelaski, who actually just had a baby earlier this week. So congratulations to him. Beautiful baby girl. And yeah, you can find Ed. I believe his Twitter handle is at Ed Zelaski.
I think you're right. So cool. Thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for helping me remind the listenership that Hertha BSC still exists. We're winning football games now. It's pretty great.
That's right. Yep. Let's keep it going.
Woo! All right. Bis zum nächsten Mal, ja.